It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Hour number one officially underway on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. I'm going to skip right to something very important because I have an opportunity to speak with Bill Gertz, Washington Times national security writer, among well, that's just one of many hats this man wears. I kind of wanted to get to Bill today about North Korea and some of the things that have been going on over the past couple of weeks. Bill, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Hi, Andy. Good to be on the show.
Hey, great to have you. All right, I know you're pressed for time, but I needed to ask some questions about North Korea. Now, we're used to the saber rattling, but this, planning attacks on specific targets in the U.S., is this just a young and dumb kid with too much power?
Here's what's happening behind the scenes. Basically, North Korea, in February 12th, lit off its third underground nuclear test. And the U.S. and other states are refusing to recognize North Korea as a nuclear power. Therefore, they've taken the unprecedented step of basically threatening nuclear attacks on the United States. It's unprecedented. The U.S. thinks that these are, you know, basically rhetoric and blustering, but you can't ignore these. You can't ignore the fact that they have missiles. They have mobile missiles that can reach our country. And they have nuclear weapons based on the fact that they've done these tests. So it puts the U.S. in a quandary, and we're seeing some very serious saber rattling. The U.S. responding with first B-52 flights near Korea, and then just recently these B-2 strategic bomber strikes. And they're basically saying they're going to turn Pyongyang into a parking lot if they try anything.
Mm-hmm. L.A., D.C., Hawaii, and Austin, Texas?
Yeah. One friend of mine said that they might be operating off of old maps. The Austin Airport used to be a strategic air command base way back in the day, and maybe they got some bad intel there on the part of the North Koreans.
All right. But now, let's talk about their capability for a minute. You had mentioned that they do have missiles, and they've got probably some type of nuclear capability. Can they reach the U.S. mainland?
Yes. Yes, unquestionably. The question is, do they have a small nuclear warhead to go on the missile? That's really the question. And there's some intel for that. You know, when the Libyans gave up their nuclear program back in 2003, they uncovered documents showing that the Chinese had provided the Pakistanis, which through the AQ Khan nuclear supplier network, provided these documents showing how to fashion a small warhead for a missile. The AQ Khan network sold the nuclear stuff to Libya, Iran, and North Korea. So the question is, do they have small warheads for missiles? They've got a Taepodong missile, which can reach the U.S. And then just recently, the Pentagon's joint staff did an urgent assessment on their new road mobile ICBM called the KN-08.
All right. Now, do we have the means to stop these missiles, if indeed they're on the way? I do know that Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, one of his first moves was to, reinforce our efforts in Alaska?
Yes. We have now deployed 30 ground-based interceptors. These are high-speed, big anti-missile interceptors. We've got them located in Fort Greely, Alaska, and Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. We've got 30 of them. The ratio is usually 2 interceptors for one missile. We don't know how many ICBMs the North Koreans have. They probably have maybe 2 or 3 Taepodongs, and then they have at least, by some estimates, as many as 6 of these new road mobile ICBMs, the KN-08s. So I think we are protected, and we've got very good sensors. We can shoot them from our ships off the coast, and we can also, if they get through there, use our long-range interceptors.
All right. Now, you mentioned B-52s. You mentioned the B-2 stealth bomber. Sending photographs of both of those from our embassy in Seoul, South Korea, to the North Koreans, are we sort of deliberately fanning the flames by doing that?
I'm not sure what the strategic calculation is there. I think it's really a deterrence message. You know, this is what they call strategic messaging. The North Koreans, again, they issued these unprecedented threats to use nuclear weapons against our country, and the Pentagon felt that they wanted to send an equally strong signal, and I think that's what's behind these these bomber flights, because they didn't say they were conventional. They made it very clear that these B-2 and B-52 bomber flights were part of what they call the extended deterrence. That is, we extend our nuclear deterrent to protect South Korea.
Yeah.
That's what's behind that.
All right. Now, in the past, we always, we sort of ignored the father and for that matter, this guy too, this Kim Jong-un. But it seems we ignored him, and it kind of went away if we gave him some food for his people. This is a bit different, and I think a lot of people are showing more concern because they don't know too much about this kid. My question to you, though, now is, will China get involved? Are they involved? Will they pressure him to stop playing games like this?
The simple answer is no. The Chinese have been playing a double game strategically on China, on North Korea. They basically pretend that they go along with U.S. and Western concerns about North Korea, but behind the scenes, the Chinese and North Korean militaries are very close. And what the Chinese like to say is that those two militaries are as close as lips and teeth. And so they clearly have a defense agreement there. They provided the launchers for the KN-08 missile. So the and the Chinese could clearly pressure the North Koreans and haven't done it. That is by cutting off economic relations, cutting off oil supplies. The Chinese are basically keeping the North Koreans in power. So until China does something, the situation probably won't change.
All right. Well, that changes my next question, because I thought maybe the U.S. and China could have been working behind the scenes together to get this guy to calm down a bit, but I guess that's not the case.
Yeah, there's a lot of internal dynamics going on in North Korea that we're not certain of. First of all, Kim Jong-un is not really in power. He's 29 years old, and his aunt and his uncle are the real power behind the throne, so to speak. There's also new power dynamics between the Korean Workers' Party, the ruling Communist Party, and the Korean military. So there's a lot of dynamics going on. They haven't really solidified the new regime under Kim Jong-un.
I gotcha. All right, one final question. I know you got to run. Should we send in Dennis Rodman to help?
I don't think that's... At this point, I think the real key is to try and pressure China.
Yeah.
Put some pressure on Beijing and make them do something.
Yeah. Where's John Kerry in all of this? Have you heard?
No, he's been relatively silent. He's kind of working the Middle East and Europe these days.
Yeah, I guess. All right, well, listen, Bill, great to talk to you. Thanks for helping me out on this
sure,
a little bit this
you.
Afternoon. Take care. Bill Gertz, Washington Times national security writer.